す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team whose theme song was written by the same guy that wrote the theme song for the Yomiuri Giants. That's right, Rocco Oroshi, which by the way is not the name of the song. The name of the song is Hanshin Tigers no Uta, also known as Rocco Oroshi. Anyways, that song was written by the same guy who wrote Tamashii o Komete, I think it's called, the Yomiuri Giants song. However, the good news for us Tigers fans is our song was first. That's right. And of course, back in the day, it was called Osaka Tigers no Uta. And then the team changed its name to Hanshin Tigers in 1961, and now we've got the name as it has stood since that time. I'm your host, T-Ray, by the way. Today is October the 11th, and this is episode 72. Welcome to the show. We are going to talk a little bit about the year 1972. This was a season in which the Hanshin Tigers finished in second place, about 3.5 games back of the Yomiuri Giants. The Giants were on their long stretch of 9 straight pennants. This was number 8. During this season, Minoru Murayama was the manager slash pitcher, but after a while he was having problems balancing both. There was also a bit of disharmony in the front office, or in the office, and so he gave the reins over to somebody else and he went back to full-time pitching. However, this ended up being his final season as a player. And at the end of the year, he was given the ball in his final start with, I think, 5 or 6 games to go in the season against the Yomiuri Giants. It was, I think, with 7 games to go, pardon me. And anyways, he ended up, fittingly, giving up 2 home runs in that game. 1 to Sadaharu Oh and 1 to Shigeo Nagashima, the 2 rivals of the Hanshin Tigers. Now, that's interesting because today we're going to talk about another guy who retired in his, you know, pitched his final game just yesterday, and who also gave up a home run in that game. Anyhow, Murayama lost the game. The team lost the game. They ended up winning 5 of their final 6 games. However, that was the pennant clincher that day. And I don't remember if it was that game or if it was the next spring that they had a special retirement game for Murayama. But anyways, in his final game, or his final mound appearance, he ended up saying to his catcher, "Look, my eyes are, you know, clouded over with tears. I'm crying, so I can't see the sign that you're dropping, so I'm only going to throw 4 balls." And that's what he ended up doing. Anyways, Murayama, a class act, one of 3 guys in team history who had his number retired. He wore number 11. Also wearing number 10 was Fumio Fujimura, and wearing number 23 was Yoshio Yoshida. So, interesting, they all have those, you know, the initial thing, right? We got FF, MM, and YY. And I wonder if TT, Takashi Toritani, might be the next number to be retired. You never know, folks, you never know. Anyways, on today's show, we are going to look at the last 2 games of the season. We are going to look at our team leaders, and we're going to do a special playoff preview. Stick around, we'll be right back. In that moment of life or death, sour could be gone in just one breath. Safe from the death his joy consumes. Give it unto God, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you. So we get down to our final 2 games of the season. We are playing some makeup dates because of rainouts against the Chunichi Dragons in September. So on October the 5th, we had Takumi Akiyama on the mound, and they had Shinnosuke Ogasawara on the mound, who has done fairly well against us. So anyways, this one was scoreless through 5 in the top of the 6th on a diving attempt by Itoi. A ball got past him. It was an RBI double. That opened the scoring for the Dragons. But in the bottom of the inning, Itoi atoned for his mistake, or for his lack of catching the ball. He hit a solo home run. Huge. Tied the game. Broke our scoreless streak at Koshien at, what, I think 35 innings. So there you have that. And the very next inning, we got a couple of singles to start. And then with 1 out and the bases loaded, Shunsuke hit into a not double play, He grounded out to second. He actually almost made it safe at first. But anyways, we scored a run on that. That ended up being the game-winning run. We take the game 2-1. The winner of the game was Daichi Takeyasu, who was also making his debut as a Hanshin Tiger. He was our number three pick last year, but needed much of last year and even most of this year to rehab from Tommy John surgery, which I think he had in 2015. So he was still trying to get his arsenal back, you know, all of his different pitches and stuff. Also making his debut in this was Hiroto Saiki. He was our third round pick just this past season. He is coming straight out of high school, 18 years old, throws 153 kilometers an hour, which is I think about 95-ish miles per hour. Anyways, both of them threw shutout innings. Saiki ended up loading the bases up on a couple of walks and a hit, but Takeyasu went perfect, 1-2-3 inning for him. Not a whole lot else of note in this one here. Also, I guess, rookie Kenya Nagasaka, catcher, he also made his debut. He did not get an at-bat, but he did catch for Saiki, so that was kind of cool, good for him. And also, Rafael Dolis claimed the Central League saves title in this game by getting his 37th save, and there was no way for Shinji Tajima of the Dragons to catch him anymore. So, the very next day, we were supposed to have a game on October the 6th. That was also rained out, and it was postponed all the way until yesterday, October the 10th. So we have Randy Messenger on the mound. That's right. Messenger is back, and we are glad to have him back. And he was going up against Jordan Norberto. Well, both of the starters only went four innings, but it wasn't because they were terrible. In fact, quite the opposite. We got the opening run, though, on an Ueda hit followed by an RBI by Fukudome. So 1-0 after one, and it stayed that way for a good while. Let's talk a little bit about Randy Messenger's outing, which was outstanding. First inning, seven pitches to get three outs. Second inning, two strikeouts and one hit. Third inning, three strikeouts. Fourth inning, three strikeouts. So he struck out seven guys in a row and eight in total in four innings pitched. Guess who's back, everybody? And look out, DeNA BayStars, and look out, Hiroshima Carp. Yes, I'm saying it right now. We're going ahead into round two. That's my prediction, but we'll get to that later in the show. Anyhow, other things to note in this one. Oh, I haven't finished recapping. That's right, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, so we are up 1-0, and in the fifth inning, we add to that. The bases were loaded on a double by Takayama and a couple of walks, and Yusuke Oyama came through with a big triple to the deep part of the field in right center. So three runs scored on that. It's 4-0. In the bottom of the seventh, we get a couple of solo shots, one from Fukudome and one from Oyama. So those two guys providing all our offense on this day, Fukudome with two RBIs, Oyama with four RBIs. But a couple other things of note. The first thing that I want to mention, though, before I forget, is that Takashi Toritani got his 1,000th career walk in the fifth inning. He battled through, and that was right after the previous inning. He tried to get the walk. He looked at strike three on a full count. It was actually a really close call, but you know, umps are umps, and they have a better vantage point than I do watching on TV, so I'm not going to question them. Anyhow, so he got his 1,000th career walk, 15th guy in NPB history to do so. So congratulations, Toritani Takashi. The other things that I wanted to note were, one, Ryota Arai announced his retirement. He was going to retire at season's end, and he kind of announced that through social media earlier in the day, and apparently he's going to have a press conference today, the 11th. But anyways, he was in this game as a pinch hitter. He went 0-for-2 with a ground out and a fly out. He hit a big foul fly that got the crowd excited, but you know, Ryota was Ryota right to the end. I don't know, I guess some of us are going to miss him. And in some ways I was kind of sad because I thought, you know, he was so good or pretty good in 2012, 2013. And, you know, he just never was able to find that place on the roster. The other one is that Yuya Ando, also a longtime Hanshin Tiger, a veteran, 16 years with the team. He also had announced his retirement earlier in September. And this was his retirement game. So he was called up and they said, hey, we're going to try and give him a full inning, that would be best, instead of just giving him one out or one batter. Well, it's a good thing they didn't stop at one batter, because he gave up a home run to the first guy he faced, and it was a career first home run for a guy named Shun Ishikawa of the Dragons. So kind of interesting that he ended his career with a home run against, and then he got a ground out to third to get to record his single out of the game, and then they pulled him. And that was a great play by Ryota Arai, none other than, you know, his fellow retiree, so that was kind of cool. Hiroto Saiki also pitched in this one, 1 2/3 innings, striking out 2 and walking 1, so he keeps his ERA at 0 on the year, and it's just hope for the future, you know, when an 18-year-old comes in and does that, even in garbage time in the season. So a very happy day, a very happy day. It would have been nice, you know, to see Ryota hit one more, you know, miracle home run, or for Ando to finish without giving up a home run. But we win 6-1. We end the season with a 4-game win streak. Our record is 78-61-4. So that's 17 games above 500. That is the best we have done since 2008. Pretty good stuff. One final thing of note in this one, the winning pitcher for the Tigers was Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, third-year pitcher who picked up his first career win, so congratulations on that. He ends the year with a 1.17 ERA. He came in partway through the season and did just an outstanding job as a reliever.
This is your week.
Well, in place of Player of the Week, we're just going to look back at the entire season. I'm going to list off some of the leaders in different categories for the team. So obviously, the leader for games played was Takashi Toritani, who played in all 143 games. Nobody else did. The next closest was Nakatani with 133. Our leading guy as far as batting average, as far as guys that played the full season, it would be Toritani with a 293 average. But midway through the year, coming in was Shunsuke, who ended up with a 309 average. And let me tell you, more than just leading the team in average, he's kind of changed my view of who he is, you know, just the way that he's come in. He actually hit the ball for some really good power. When you consider the fact that he, you know, had only 202 plate appearances, his 15 doubles and 4 home runs and 1 triple are pretty impressive. So good on him. So anyways, leading the team in plate appearances was also Takatashi Toritani with 570. He also led in hits with 143. He also led in doubles with 23 doubles. Our next best guy was Nakatani with 21, and then Fukudome and Uemoto with 20 apiece. Home runs, we were led by Nakatani, who hit 20, followed by Fukudome with 18. He hit his 18th on the last day of the season. And the next to last game of the season, Itoi hit his 17th, good for third on the team. RBIs, we have Fukudome with 79, followed by Itoi with 62, Nakatani with 61, and then it drops off considerably from there. You know, amazingly, our team did not have a single 100 strikeout guy. Our strikeout leader was Masahiro Nakatani with 96. Leading the team in walks, Mr. Walk himself, Toritani, got his 77th in that last game, and he tied Fukudome for the team lead in that category then. Stolen bases, Itoi racked up 21, which is a lot less than his 53 from last year when he was with the Buffaloes, but considering the injuries, considering age, considering it's the Tigers, we'll take it. And our next best guy was Uemoto with 16. And let me tell you, just looking at the list of leaders, we are in trouble in the future, folks, because Itoi is 36 years old. Uemoto, who is second, is 32 years old, I think. Toritani is 36 years old. He was third. And so, you know, our three best guys are getting older, and they ain't going to be stealing more bases as time goes on. Our best OPS, that being on base plus slugging percentage guy, is Itoi with an 829, which is good. It's not like, you know, superstar or all-star material, but it is pretty decent. Let's move on to pitching now. And our leader in innings pitched this year was Takumi Akiyama with 159 1/3 innings pitched. Messenger followed that up with 143. They're the only two guys that were eligible for individual stat awards. Neither of them won any categories in the league, but they reached the minimum, which is 143. Leading the team in wins was also Akiyama with 12, and Messenger was second with 11. Losses, we had Iwasada with 10, and then Taiki Ono, who started his career 0-7, ends with those 7, and he ends up 2-7 on the year. Leading the team in holds was Kentaro Kuwahara with 36, followed by Kentaro Kuwahara with 39, followed by Mateo with 36. And of course, our saves leader is Rafael Delis, 37. The only other save on the team was by Akifumi Takahashi. He got just the one. Our strikeout leader was Randy Messenger, 155 strikeouts. So that's in 143 innings pitched. So that's very impressive. He probably would have won the league title if he had not been hurt for 2 months. Would you believe our leading walks guy? Yeah, you would believe. Fujinami. Yeah, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. 59 innings pitched, 45 walks, which is one higher than Messenger, who threw, you know, more than double the number of innings, and Iwasada, who threw about 40 more innings than him. But he was not, Fujinami was not the leading plunksman on the team. That would be, of course, the wild blue goat, Koyo Aoyagi. ERA leader, if you want to look at specifically starting pitchers, it would be Randy Messenger with a 2.36, I believe it was. But as far as our relievers go, and guys that threw, let's say, a minimum of 30 innings, it would be Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, who got a 1.17. Follow that with Kentaro Kuwahara with a 1.51, and Akifumi Takahashi with a 1.7. So there you have it. Those are our team leaders. How you feel about this year's team, everybody? I'm actually a little bit surprised in a lot of areas. I'm pretty happy with a lot of things, but of course, there's a lot left for this team to do. There's a lot more work to go. All right, we are going to look now ahead to the playoffs, where we will be facing the DeNA BayStars on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, if necessary, at Koshien Stadium. I will be doing another website post as well, where I get some help from a BayStars follower from Twitter, and we're going to write up some cool stuff for y'all, so please be on the lookout for that. But today I'm going to compare, I'm going to kind of break down some of the basic areas of baseball and how our teams stack up against each other. All right, so we're going to look at hitting, starting pitching, the bullpen, management, and intangibles. You know, that being like base running and stuff like that, defense, etc., etc. All right, so I guess the first thing we can look at is basically from position by position, right? So at first base, if we're looking at hitting, we have got Yusuke Oyama, perhaps. We certainly don't have Jason Rogers anymore. He is on a different continent. And Haraguchi probably will not get any starting time at first base. It's just been too long since he has played regularly, so he may end up being a pinch hitter. But Yusuke Oyama for us and Jose Lopez for them. The difference is very clear. It's clear as day. Jose Lopez smokes Yusuke Oyama. So that's an easy one right there. Second base, we have Hiroki Uemoto, and they have somebody Tanaka. He played at the same university as Toritani. But anyways, Uemoto is the better second baseman as far as hitting goes. Definitely better numbers, definitely better speed, and so on. At third base, speaking of Toritani, we've got him, and they have got Miyazaki. Now, Miyazaki led the league. He led the league in batting average, and he also was a much better home run hitter than Toritani. So actually, I'm going to give the edge to the BayStars there as well. And then at shortstop, I guess we've got Yamato, and they have got Kuromoto. Neither of these guys is outstanding, and I'm going to call that one a wash. I mean, Kuromoto probably has slightly better numbers overall over Yamato, but I'm still going to call it a wash. It's pretty much even. As far as catcher goes, they've got Tobashira, and we have got Umeno as our main guy, although Sakamoto might be back in time for the playoffs. And so if we look at that, I'm going to say as far as hitting goes, probably Tobashira is a little bit better than, or he is definitely better than Umeno, but he may not be better than Sakamoto. It depends on what you're looking at. Tobashira has more power, but Sakamoto maybe has got a better on-base percentage and better overall hitting skills, fewer strikeouts, and so on and so forth. As for the outfield, they've got Tsutsugo and Kuwahara and Kajitani. So Tsutsugo obviously is head and shoulders above everybody, not named Seiya Suzuki in the CL. So I'm going to give it to him over Kosuke Fukudome, although Fukudome is also a solid hitter in the outfield. But, you know, obviously he's no Tsutsugo. In center field, they've got Kuwahara, and we have got either Shunsuke or perhaps Nakatani. I'm not really sure what Kanemoto is going to do, and I kind of overlooked this. Maybe Nakatani might be the first baseman during the playoffs. We don't know. I've got the feeling, though, it may end up being Shunsuke. He's just kind of had the hot bat lately, and he just seems to be a really good spark plug for the team. Well, in that case, even though I do like what Shunsuke has been doing lately, I think Kuwahara definitely has the better overall numbers. And if we look, Kuwahara has 13 home runs and 38 doubles. So that's some pretty good numbers right there as far as power goes. He's also struck out 116 times, which is, you know, a lot. But I'm going to give it to Kuwahara there. And in right field, Kajitani or Itoi. Wow, I mean, they're kind of the same guy, but with different ages, certainly. And when I say the same guy, I'm basically talking about the big numbers. I mean, you know, the doubles, the home runs, and the stolen bases are about the same. However, I'm definitely going to give this one to Itoi anyways, simply because 157 strikeouts for Kajitani means he is a human windmill. He only bats 243, so his on-base percentage is definitely worse than Itoi's. His hitting with runners in scoring position is also very low compared to Itoi, and so I will give that one to us. So that is the rundown of the hitters. As far as pitching goes, starting pitching goes, you know, I'm asking my BayStars friend to give us a little bit of an insight into who the three starters are going to be for the Climax Series, but I'm going to guess that it's probably going to be Imanaga, Wieland, and Hamaguchi. All three guys had good success against us. They completely pulverized us when we last hosted them at Koshien at the end of September, particularly Imanaga and Wieland, both threw shutouts against us. I think Wieland's was complete game and Imanaga's was like almost seven innings. So pretty good stuff there. Imanaga, by the way, has a 2.98 ERA on the season. And as far as how he does against Hanshin, he's got a 3.34 ERA against us, which seems a little high. I thought it was definitely lower than that, but that's what the numbers tell me. He was 3-1 against us this season, but we only batted 198 against him. So that's pretty scary right there. Wieland ends with a 2.98 ERA as well. However, he didn't qualify. He only threw 133 innings. Anyways, he did end up with 10 wins on the year. And against Hanshin, he had an ERA of 1.76. He went 2-0 against us in two appearances. So that bodes pretty well for them. And then Hamaguchi at the start of the year was excellent against us. He was excellent against everybody. No, he was excellent against only us. He ends up with a 3.57 ERA. And the only team that he was under 3.57 against, as far as Central League teams go, is the Hanshin Tigers. In five games, he went 3 wins, no losses, with an ERA of 3.03. It was much better than that until the last two outings when we actually figured him out a little bit. So hopefully, you know, they do start him, and hopefully we can figure him out real good. That would be great. As far as our starting pitchers go in this one, this is the guess as far as I'm concerned. Since Messenger just pitched yesterday, and even though it was just four innings, I'm guessing they might delay him until game two. And I really don't know. I heard rumors about Nomi maybe starting game one, because Nomi this year against DeNA in three starts went 1-0 with a 2.14 ERA, which is pretty solid. He also lines up really well against some of their good lefty bats, including Tsutsugo and Kajitani. And by the way, even though I gave the advantage to Lopez in the first base matchup, I will also say that Lopez was pretty terrible against us as a team. Sorry to backtrack on y'all here. He batted 301 on the year with 30 home runs, and against Hanshin, he batted 230 with just one home run. So, you know, maybe Oyama gets the edge there as well, at least in that particular instance. But you never know. I mean, Lopez could just, you know, come around and actually be himself against us in the playoffs. So back to what I was saying, maybe Nomi in game one is what I've heard as a rumor. And then Randy Messenger, of course, game two, or certainly he's going to get a game that matters. And he's just good. Actually, though, his ERA against DeNA was 3. He was under 2 against three other teams, but he was 3.00 against them. But still, Randy's Randy, right? And then I'm guessing in game three, we'd probably use Akiyama. Although I don't know, because he was 2-1 against the Bay Stars, but with a 5.48 ERA. So we may actually save him for the second round just in case. Who would we take as our third starter then? You know, you'd almost think maybe Iwasada, because Iwasada against the Bay Stars also was pretty good. In two outings, though, he's 0-2. However, his ERA was 1.93. And the Bay Stars only hit .167 against him. So it could very well be Iwasada in Game 3. And if that ends up being on Monday, then yours truly will be there for that one. So who's got the edge? I hate to say it, but I'm going to give the edge in starting pitching to the Bay Stars. The three guys that are facing us are guys that have had success against us. We're not really sure about what we're doing, but obviously our starting pitching has not been outstanding this season for a while anyways. So I'm going to go with the Bay Stars there. Bullpen, no question. This is Hanshin land, Hanshin territory. We got them beat in the bullpen. Okay, we've got Dolis as our closer. His numbers are not quite as attractive as Yamasaki's, the Bay Stars closer, but I mean, they're equally good. And actually, if you look at Dolis against the Bay Stars, ERA of 0.75 in 11 outings. So pretty solid stuff right there. That's much better than Yamasaki, who against us, he's got a 1.64 on the year, and against us a 1.5. So actually still pretty good, but we batted .244 against him on the year. But then from there, it just gets a little bit ridiculous. We've got Marcos Mateo as one of our setup guys. Perfect against the Bay Stars in 9 outings. We've got Kuwahara. 1.17 against the Bay Stars. We've got Kyuji. 3.6, not great, but he's still all right against them. We've got Takahashi. Perfect against the Bay Stars. 10 2/3 innings, no earned runs, and 14 strikeouts. We've got Suguru Iwazaki. Okay, he's got a 4.8 ERA against them, so not great. So maybe we need to can him a little bit. And then we've got Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, who's got a 3.38 against them in 8 innings, allowing 3 runs. Still, 3.38 is respectable. It's not bad. And so we'll take that, and we'll take that to the bank. Against them, when we compare who they've got, Mikami, I think, is their setup guy. Against Hanshin, 2.61 ERA, which is all right, I guess. Mishima against us, 4.05 ERA. Patton against us has a 3.86 ERA. So you can see a lot of these numbers are up in the threes. And so I'm not so confident in what they're going to be doing. Escobar, 1.59 ERA against us. So maybe that's a little bit of hope for them. I'm still going to say, hands down, we have got this. We've got the bullpen and they don't. Management. Well, this is one that we can't really measure with numbers, or at least nothing that I know of. But as you know, they've got Alex Ramirez as their manager, and we have got Tomoaki Kanemoto as our manager. I'm going to give this one to the Bay Stars, hands down. I personally, as you know from episode 71, do not care for Kanemoto that much. And one of the interesting things I read about Ramirez is that he was late for press conferences all of like 2 weeks ago when we faced the Bay Stars 5 straight. He was late because he said, hey, I was studying video. I'm trying to figure out the game plan for these games. And so I really want to make sure that I've got that down. And so that's what he did. And it worked. I mean, in those last 5 games that we faced the Bay Stars, when it really mattered, we went 1 win, 3 losses, and 1 tie. 2 of those losses were at Koshien and shutout losses. So, you know, obviously the pitchers did a good job, but also the manager did a good job to get a game plan down that was going to get them to beat us. So definitely Ramirez over Kanemoto. Finally, we'll look at intangibles. And, you know, for some of this stuff, you know, we're gonna look at, you know, the basic numbers. So against Hanshin so far, or this season, the Bay Stars went 10-14-1. But guess what? They have a winning record at Koshien, 7 wins and 6 losses. The thing about that is they, were outscored by us during those 13 games. They only got 8 home runs in 13 games at Koshien, so that bodes well for us. They also committed 10 errors and stole just 5 bases. So those are some of the kind of key numbers to look at. So they hit 8 home runs. They also gave up 8 home runs. So we hit 8 home runs against them in those Koshien matchups too. We scored 50 runs. We only batted 212 at Koshien against them, though. We stole 8 bases and committed 9 errors. So our base stealing and our number of errors are a little bit better than theirs. And I guess the only thing I can say is let's not put Hayata Ito out in left field so that Jose Lopez can get some free RBIs against us, because that's what happened during the regular season. As far as intangibles go, though, defense, you really can't get any worse than Hanshin, so definitely that goes to the Bay Stars. But as far as just being able to draw the walks, I mean, that's another thing that Hanshin has kind of been known for. We picked up 58 walks in the 13 games at Koshien against them, 106 overall against them in 25 games, versus they had 88 walks against us. So there is a significant difference there in those numbers. So I'm going to actually give the intangibles to Hanshin. And so just a quick review then, hitting most positions, I'm giving that to the Bay Stars. Starting pitching, slight edge to the Bay Stars. Bullpen, big edge to Hanshin. Management, the edge goes to the Bay Stars, no doubt. And intangibles, I'm going to say a slight edge to Hanshin Tigers. So, drum roll. I'm going to say that this series does in fact go 3 games and that Hanshin comes out on top. As I said earlier in the show, we are going to win round 1. It's going to be a close one, but Hanshin Tigers it is. 3 games. Why don't we say we lose game 1 and then we come back and win games 2 and 3? Assuming, of course, that Randy Messenger is the game 2 starter, not the game 1 starter. We'll win the Randy game and we'll win the deciding game. That's what I'm going to say. And it's going to come down to a difference in bullpens, and it's going to come down to a difference in just being able to get guys on base late in the game. And I think that our guys can do it with their discipline and so on. What's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen in this playoff series? Are you excited? I hope you are. All right, a couple of other announcements before we wrap things up. First of all, playoff tickets are on sale right now. I don't have playoff tickets to sell to you, but you can go to the website, to hanshintigers.jp, and get some there. I do have 6 tickets to the Monday game. That's game 3. I've heard that if there's a rainout on Saturday or Sunday, that game 3 gets bumped to Tuesday, and then my tickets also are good for Tuesday, not for Monday. But either way, I'm going to the game. If there's a game, I'm there. If you're going, let's meet up. Hit me up with an email, hit me up with a text, whatever you need to do to get in touch with me. The email address, by the way, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. If you're going to one of the other games, and if you want to write a game report, or if you want to do something connected with H10, let me know. I would love to have you on staff for the playoffs. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at the website www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the 4 magic words and you know them: Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review on iTunes, write a review on Stitcher, write a review on Facebook page, write a review anywhere you can, and share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, share it with your families, because the Hanshin Tigers are a great team and you know it. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. We have got a Facebook page. We're about 600 strong right now in there. So look for Hanshin Tigers English News on Facebook. And as I said earlier, if you want to write a review on the Facebook page, that would be great as well. I think we've got 13 reviews up there now. I'd love to see that hit 20, 25, 30, 50 by season's end. If you also are a Twitter user, you can follow me on Twitter, @TheHanshinTiger. And I don't know if you're real picky about the 140 characters, 280 characters, but I'm still a 140 character guy. But even if I switch to 280, don't hate. Nothing but love for you, so show some love back. Anyways, until next time, keep cheering until we sing Hanshin Tigers no Uta, Nokko Oroshi again and again and again at Koshien. Have a great week, everyone.